their website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
Support comes from Grady Design Harborside Eye Care, now featuring private label frames that can be customized by size and color to your liking, specializing in thorough eye exams and superior one-on-one service. For an eye exam or frame viewing appointment, Grady Design Harborside Eye Care, 262-652-2020.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the special education department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here is today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. Today's program will explore a new and unique resource for teachers, parents, librarians, and students interested in multicultural and global children's literature. Omnilibros.com is the address, in case you'd like to follow along. That's OMNILIBROS.com. I will repeat it again after I introduced my guests so you can follow along with us. As a reminder, all of our programs are archived at our WGTD.org website, so if you hear something you like, you can listen again at a later time. Our guests today are Marilyn Ward, who is a professor of education and the director of the Center for Children's Literature at Carthage College, where she teaches courses in children's literature, social studies methods, and creative arts. She is also the United States Board on Books for Young People Wisconsin State Ambassador. Welcome, Marilyn.
Thank you.
Emma Abler is an elementary education student at Carthage College. She is currently working with Professor Ward on a summer undergraduate research experience project about Omnilibros.
Thank you for having me.
And Caitlin Cook is a 2014 Carthage College graduate with degrees in cross-categorical special education and elementary education. She worked closely with Marilyn for about 2 years while she attended Carthage, and currently she's a special education teacher at Butler Middle School in Waukesha. Welcome.
Thank you.
So another reminder to our listeners that we are exploring Omnilibros.com, a website for teachers, parents, librarians, and students interested in multicultural and global children's literature. In case you would like to follow along while we explore the site and discuss it, the address is omnilibros.com. And again, if you happen to be interrupted while you're listening to this or you're running errands and you don't catch everything, you can always go to WGTD.org and find our archive and listen to it again at a later time. So I'd like to just start by asking Marilyn, can you briefly tell us what Omnilibros is and how it got started?
It's an online resource blog, an annotated bibliography to help teachers, librarians, reading resource staff, parents, and young readers select and use recently published English language trade books that promote understanding across global cultures. The books have been translated into English, published in English outside of the U.S., or published in the U.S. but set in another country. We look for books that introduce American readers to outstanding authors and illustrators from other countries, books that are accessible to American readers, and books that have received international awards. The site is sponsored by the Carthage College Center for Children's Literature, which is our collection of over 25,000 children's and young adult books. It was developed by me. I had contributed to several annotated bibliographies of international children's literature over the years, real books, and just decided that those kinds of expensive reference books are just not the books that libraries like to buy now, and then they're out of date before they're even published. So digital seemed to be the way to go. And then Erlen Wheeler, a professor of mathematics and computer science at Carthage, was our digital architect. And then, of course, Caitlin was in on the ground floor, and Emma has joined recently.
So how did you get the name Omnilibros? And am I saying that correctly?
Yes, okay, Omnilibros, good. Right. We brainstormed and brainstormed and had pages of hundreds of names, words. We were looking for a name that had not already been taken. And Omnilibros, both words are Latin. We wanted to make sure we didn't have one Latin and one Greek. And anyway, when we got to Omnilibros, it just seemed right.
Yeah. And so what you want to convey with just the name is, what is Omni?
All books.
All books. Everything books. Great. So how has the site developed? And wait, when exactly did it start? When did it go online?
We worked on it all last summer, and then it was publicly launched last October at Carthage.
And has it changed much in the time since it was publicly launched, or just more books added?
Yeah, I would say it's the same format. It's just more books have been added since the beginning in October.
Okay. And so at this point, what role do each of you play in the site? So should we start with Caitlin? What are you doing right now?
Currently, I'm writing annotations. I continue to be a contributor in between doing all of my schoolwork for my first year of teaching. I've worked with Marilyn kind of discerning what sorts of books have literary merit, what do we need more countries, what countries do we need to be represented more. So that's how we've been deciding together.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Emma, what are you doing at the moment?
Well, at the moment, I'm a contributor for Omnilibros. I read children's books for the site. I write annotations about the books I read. I am currently working with Professor Ward on a SUR project, which stands for Summer Undergraduate Research Experience. And what I'm doing is I'm analyzing the information about the statistics from the site, and I'm using the information to find how I can improve the site.
Okay. And Marilyn?
I look for books, and I read books, and I write annotations, and learn about new publishers and authors, and just get pretty excited about it.
Mm-hmm. How much time do you think you spend on it each week?
I would say last summer was full of reading,
so
annotating, annotating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about now, like now that it's up? Varies a lot?
Yeah. It depends on what type of book you're reading, too, because if you're reading a young adult book, that's going to take you more time to then read picture books, so... Yeah, I would say it takes about the same amount of time. What would you say, Marilyn?
We spend a lot of time researching the bibliographic information about the book. The site doesn't just have the annotation. It has, well, of course, the author and illustrator's ethnicities, where they live, what awards the book has won. I mean, there's all kinds of things. And sometimes you have to do some serious research to find that out.
Yeah, and we also consult worldcat.org. That's like an online bibliographic center through a library that we're able to use then to find out better subject areas or other hot topics that are covered in the book. So we represent that the same way on our website.
Excellent. So can one of you describe just in general what the site looks like? I'm sure there are a few people that are maybe following along on their computer or even their phone right now. Remember, it's omnilibros.com. But if someone's just listening, maybe driving, can you tell them what they would see if they opened up your site?
Well, at the top, you have our website name, Omnilibros, and there's a wonderful picture at the top. It's a picture that Professor Ward actually took in the Hedberg Library at Carthage College in the Center for Children's Lit. And we have a little picture of a globe and her little red wagon as well, which is something that she always carries around with her, or carts with her to take all of her books to her classes and such. So that's the top of it. It's very easy to navigate. You'll also see the homepage is where you start. Gives a little bit about what Omnilibros is, a little biographical bit, if you would like to call it that. And then there's a list of recently added posts. So it begins with the post that was most recently added, of course. The one that pops up right now is Gorillas in Our Midst, for example. On the right-hand side, you've got a place where you can search by keyword, country, or subject. And below it, there's a tag cloud. So you have things like adventure, animals, food for subject areas that are covered in all of these books.
Okay. I see a list of authors and awards. Those are awards. Okay,
yes.
So tell us a little bit about that part of it.
Well, you can search by award. We've got on the major international children's literature awards like the Astrid Lindgren Award, the Batchelder Award, the best book awards from different countries like England, Australia, Germany, the South Asia Book Award, the White Raven, all the major awards. So you can search by the award, and if you click on the name of the award, it'll take you to the awards, the organization that gives the award, to their website. So then you could read about the award, and then there are links to all kinds of things. So anyway, the books, many, many of our books have won these awards. So mm-hmm. You can search by award either way.
Okay. So, Caitlin, how do you think this site might be useful for teachers and librarians? Can you walk us through how they might do a search? Mm-hmm. Or if you're using it for planning a lesson or something, how would you do it?
Yeah, I actually used this website with one of my students very recently. Mm-hmm. She wanted to read a book about dogs. So I typed in omnilibros.com in the search bar and just simply scrolled down a little bit on the homepage and found the search bar there and typed in dogs. And you are met then with a whole list of books that have dogs in them. Mm-hmm. And then as her teacher, knowing where her reading level is at, I was able to, after she said, oh, this one looks interesting, go in and see if that reading level would be appropriate for her. And then we were able to select something that she might want to read.
Mm-hmm. And so the books are, how far back do they go? Like, what's the earliest publication date that you have in here?
We started with 2010.
Okay.
And what's cool is that we do have some classics. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they were written before 2010, but so many of them have been reissued.
Okay.
So then we get to put them on. So there is one of the tags is classics. I mean, we've got Alice mm-hmm. in Wonderland and I can't even think, help me.
Ola.
Mm-hmm. Pinocchio, just did a Pinocchio, some mm-hmm. of the classics.
Mm-hmm. And so are you kept busy just trying to keep up with the new publications, or are you planning to go backwards in time if you ever get to?
If we find something that's older, yeah, we'll put it on, but we're looking at the new things. I check when the awards are announced, mm-hmm. I check, and then if we don't already have the book, sometimes we do, mm-hmm. which is nice because we picked the award winner before it became an award winner. But anyway, then I'll search out the new books, so it's really up to date.
Okay.
Some books aren't even out yet because I get galleys.
Right, because they know when they send them to you first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's quite an advantage for the two of you. You probably will never have that opportunity
yeah.
ever again, right?
Yeah.
So, Emma, you are conducting research on the site and how it is used as part of your summer research project. So what are some of the interesting things you've learned about the way users are accessing the site, where they spend the time, whatever?
Well, for my project, what I'm doing is I'm looking at the site and seeing just who's visiting it, how often they're visiting it, and then what posts they're reading. For my project, I've actually made, like, graphs to see, like, what is the most popular country of who's visiting us. And what I found kind of interesting is that the U.S. is most popular, which I wasn't really surprised by, but the second most popular country is actually Brazil. And we were surprised to, like, wonder why Brazilian readers, and that's something we're still looking into, seeing why we have such a large Brazil following. And also what I've been doing is I've been emailing publishers along with Professor Ward and telling them that their books are on the website. So then they can see that we're using their books, and then they can send us more books, and then we also get more international books on our site, which mm-hmm. is what we really want to do. And then finally, what I've also found interesting is the fact that, like, what people are looking at, what's the most popular thing. What people are really looking at is our book map, which we have online. And if you go there, it'll actually take you to a Google map of all the books or countries we have books about. And then when you click on the pin, it'll take you to books from that country.
So if you wanted to follow along right now and you're on omnilibros.com, there is a little search bar at the top or different places you can go within our site. And the third one over is Book Map. Click that. It'll open up a Google map that we've created. And when you take a look at it, there are tons of different little balloons that pop up representing each country that we have a book from.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. So I highly recommend that you go and look at the site, maybe, you know, listen to the show while you're looking at the site later on the archive. So you have, I'm looking at it right now, and there's like a density of balloons or pins in Europe because the countries are smaller probably, and maybe more of them have been translated into English. I'm not sure. Is that why?
It just seems that a lot of European books and Canadian books have been translated mm-hmm. to English more so than maybe Middle Eastern books and such. And that's we've had a hard time finding countries in the Middle East or other regions like that that have been translated to English yet.
I see, and I'm looking at the Africa part of the map, and it looks like most of the books are coming from former British colonies, which probably are already in English when they're written.
Yeah, mostly.
But you have a lot in South America too, and those are not English-speaking countries. It is really interesting. So I highly recommend you go and do this. It's such a pretty map too, with all these pretty pins on it. So there's only one pin, even if there might be like 20 books from that country.
Correct.
Okay. And in the U.S., the pin looks like it's right on Kenosha.
That's because that's where we are.
But are there books from a lot of different places in the U.S.?
No.
No?
Well, we have some American authors. I mean, I'll include a book with an American author if it's set in a different country.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they've lived there, their ethnicity. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we.
So the focus is really on the world.
Right.
It's outside of the U.S. primarily. Yeah. So, Marilyn, how do you utilize this site as a professor who's preparing future teachers? What are, you know, is it most useful for any kind of reading, or is it really focused on social studies kinds of reading? Or
I use it in both my children's literature class and my social studies class. There are assignments where students have to find books from different countries, find books, award winners from different countries, and then do various assignments with those. There are some other professors at Carthage that are using it too, and they're like requiring their students to use it. And then just any unit that you would want to do, you know, you can pick out any topic, any country. Suppose you want to look at authors from a particular country. And then in the publishing world right now, the big push is we need diverse books. Mm-hmm. So that's another important use, is to see what's out there to make a better world out there, yes.
Are you aware of any other colleagues and other colleges that are using it for this?
Yes. I presented this at the Wisconsin Council for Social Studies convention in March in Madison. And yes, there are some professors who have emailed, and I know they're using it. And then I also presented it to the Racine-Kenosha Reading Council. Mm-hmm. And I've got a lot of local teachers, high school teachers, that mm-hmm. are using it.
So the age range is from
pre-K through high school,
mm-hmm.
Everything.
How many books are on here at the moment? Do you have a current count?
We're currently at 200 books right now. Mm-hmm. We just got our 200th post recently.
Excellent. And for anyone who's ever tried to keep a blog or anything like that, 200 is actually a lot,
mm-hmm.
especially because you're reading each and every book and you're researching each and every book to make the annotations and all of the.
And we try to post 2 to 3 every week.
Mm-hmm. To keep it fresh, mm-hmm. so people want to keep coming back. All those Brazilians that are reading your site, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Caitlin, how do you decide which books actually make it? Are there any rejects here? Like, how do you decide which things end up on the
site? There are rejects. Mm-hmm. We represent books that are nonfiction, poetry, fantasy, fiction, folk tales, biography, historical fiction, every genre you can think of. To discern which book makes sense to annotate next, we start just searching publisher websites or keeping up with award winners when they are announced. We read reviews from Kirkus, and we also look at the books that are received by publishers, and we're very fortunate to have books being sent by publishers to Maryland. We like to keep up with current events and hot topics. So if there's another animal book that we receive, and we used to joke around saying that our blog was my animal friends around the world, because for a long time, a lot of the books centered around an animal topic. But we try to represent countries that haven't necessarily been represented before. If we find something from a country we've never done, we jump on that. We just decide what kind of piques our interest and what do we think kids and others would be interested in as well.
So if you're doing this at the rate of 200 books and you're not even finished with your first year, so imagine 5 years from now.
This is crazy. We would have never thought.
No.
I mean, I was looking back at old paperwork that we were doing or keeping track, and we would write numbers next to each book title and each author. And I'm looking back at old papers, and I've got like a number one or a 22 or an 80 written, and we're at 200 now. This is crazy.
Yeah, that's exciting. Pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Well, and I would think also the publishers must be really pleased because it's up to date, it's accessible to anyone. It doesn't have to wait until it gets published in a big handbook for a library. So it's more accessible, right?
Right. I am now getting boxes of books and more boxes, which is why I need that wagon. Mm-hmm. Yes, the publishers are really, really happy. Get the books out there, and then of course they email me back and they're so pleased, and it's like, how did you hear about our book, and can we send you more? And I say yes.
Right. So publishers, if you happen to be listening to this, I don't know, I think they could probably use a vacation. No, I'm just kidding. But any more books that you want to send, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
And another thing is I was just at ALA, the American Library Association conference in San Francisco. And, of course, I go around to all the publishers and the authors, and I tell them all about Omni Libros. And then they, like, here, take these books.
And then how do you get them all home from there? Did you have to ship them?
No, I don't like to ship them because then I have to wait. So I brought a suitcase inside my suitcase, and the friend with me had a suitcase inside his suitcase. So we came home with four suitcases, almost all to the 50-pound limit.
Well, that is one way. So then where are all these books kept? Do they go into the collection when you're finished?
They all go into the Carthage Center for Children's Literature. And they are all marked with a special book plate that it's the special Omni Libros collection. And it's called the June Ward Omni Libros collection. June Ward, my mother, died a year ago, and she was a first grade teacher in Kenosha. She taught for 53 years.
Wow.
And anyway, we set up a fund in her memory. Mm-hmm. So there's money to purchase some books, but then, yes, all the books go back in with a book plate that says June Ward Omni Libros.
That's really wonderful. And I'm just thinking, like, it's sort of an interesting sort of homage to the past, but, you know, looking ahead. So I'm sure your mother could never have imagined a digital bibliography, right? But at the same time, she loved children's books, and she loved teaching children how to read, so it's a perfect tribute. That's really nice. I just want to remind our listeners that we are discussing omnilibros.com, a website for teachers, parents, librarians, and students interested in multicultural and global children's literature. In case you'd like to jump online and follow along with us, the address is omnilibros.com. And as a reminder, all of our programs are archived at our WGTD.org website, so if you hear something you like, you can listen again at a later time. And our guests are Marilyn Ward, who's professor of education and director of the Center for Children's Literature at Carthage College, Emma Abler, who's an elementary education student at Carthage College, who's working on a research project on the Omni Libros site, and Caitlin Cook, who is a current special education teacher in Waukesha, but continues to work on the OmniLibro site and is one of the originators of the site. About, what is it, about 2 years now that you started working on it, or longer than that?
1.5, I would say. We started, a lot of the annotations were being done end of 2013, beginning of 2014, and when we decided to move into the direction of let's do an online format for this, it really kind of jump-started at the beginning of 2014 then.
And Emma, you said a little bit about what you're doing for the project, but I'm curious as to how often is the site viewed and who else besides Americans and Brazilians are looking at it?
Well, it's kind of interesting because currently, throughout the entire history the site's been on, we have 7,385 views from people, and we've had 3,241 people visiting the site. And this year alone, we've had about 1,500 visitors, people who have looked at our site. And then just yesterday, we've had like people from the U.S., Canada, Germany, Belgium, and New Zealand come visit our site. So it's a large variety of people who are looking at our site and really want to look at it.
That's really fascinating. How do you think they're finding out about it?
Well, we think maybe it's because of the Google. Like, when you search on Google for OmniLibros, we're the first option or search that comes up. So mm-hmm. we're thinking maybe people type it in, and then they see that we're there, and they are curious to see what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. And we are linked to some other sites, USBBY, mm-hmm. United States Board on Books for Young People, IBBY, the International Board on Books for Young People. It's on a children's literature review site in Brazil that we just put on. I mean, it mm-hmm. wasn't before we discovered we have so many readers from Brazil. And we just put it on a Peace Corps education site. So it's been advertised.
So there could be a lot of ways that they're getting to you. Is that something that's in the analytics that tells you like how they're finding it or not?
With what we have right now, it doesn't really tell us that, but that would be something interesting to research to see how are they getting there and why.
Right. I guess you never really know why unless.
Yeah.
Now, have a lot of people contacted you through the contact button? Or not?
Some are quite surprising. I got an email from an author, and he was just, of course, authors Google their titles just to see what they can find. They want to read reviews and everything. And he was so excited and surprised to find my book, his book on the site. And he emailed and said, you know, how did you find it? And that's wonderful because nobody in the United States knows about the book. So, yes, I get emails, interesting mm-hmm. emails.
Have you heard from any librarians that have been using the site? That seems like it would be a great resource for librarians. That's what struck me when I first saw it.
Well, it's kind of interesting because my mother is actually a librarian at a school in South Milwaukee. So when I first got news that I was going to be doing this project, she went on Facebook and told her librarian friends, and were really excited to like learn that there's a site that actually does this, because often, like Caitlin mentioned to me earlier today, people just look on Google for a book and necessarily won't read it. Well, our site, we read the books, so we know that the books are high quality and they're going to be good for using in a classroom.
Mm-hmm. So you know that. So if they go on this site, they're not going to find anything that probably you could buy at Target in that little book aisle, most likely.
No,
it's good stuff.
A lot of these books are available on Amazon.
They are.
Not all of them, but most of them are available on Amazon, but you're not going to be able to walk into Barnes & Noble and grab all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all in our library, which, of course, you can come visit. They're available through interlibrary loan.
Right. Oh, so yes, you can get them. If you are here in Kenosha, you could come in and borrow them from the Carthage Library. Do they need anything special for that? How do you, as someone who's maybe not a member of the Carthage community, how do you get?
You would have to come into the library and talk to someone there or call me, email me. There are things that we can do to get cards for people.
Mm-hmm. And if they were outside of this immediate area, they could request it through interlibrary
yes.
loan from their own public
right.
library or their own academic library
right.
somewhere else. Okay, that's good. So tell me one of your very favorite books that you've come across, each of you, and while you've been doing this. Something that, you know, just really piqued your interest for whatever reason. It looks like Caitlin has one in mind. No?
Well, one of my favorite stories was about a little wiener dog named Lumpito. Why? Because I have my own wiener dog at home. And I'm really interested in Spanish culture in Spain. And this particular story, Lumpito, was taking place in Spain. It took place during Pablo Picasso's time, and it was a cute little picture book. Kind of reminded me of how much fun I can have with my own dog, and I like, obviously, reading about that. So that would be my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Emma?
I would say my current favorite that I've read recently would be The Wrath and the Dawn, which is a book which has been published recently. I think it's May this year, and it's a 1001 Nights retelling. So like the Arabian Nights, it's a retelling of that. And it's very interesting, and it's for young adults. And I just loved it. I love fairy tale retellings.
And where was it published originally before it was translated? Or was it
See, like with Omni Libros, we also do books which have been published in the U.S., but they're set in a different place.
Oh, okay.
This particular author is actually American, and she like has the book set in like the Middle East. So that's
the author. I need to write this down. Sounds good.
The first name's Renee. The last name starts with an A. I can't think of it right
okay.
now.
What's the title?
The Wrath and the Dawn.
The Wrath and the Dawn. Okay, that sounds... I have a 10-year-old son. Sounds like it would be right up his alley, right? Is that about the right age, or it's a little older?
It's more young adult, so maybe.
We'll see. And Marilyn, what's something?
I mean, you probably must read, you know, hundreds and hundreds of children's books every year. So
yes,
if something stands out to you.
This is just a really hard question.
This is yeah. What I'm thinking of, though, is Shackleton's Journey.
Oh, I love that story.
Yeah, and it just won the Greenaway Medal mm-hmm. in Britain, which is their version of our Caldecott. It's for a picture book. And the artwork in that is amazing. You need to look at it, Shackleton's Journey. And what else? The guy who wrote it, and again, I can't think of his name. he's the youngest person to ever get that award. He was only 25.
Huh. And for listeners who might not be familiar with the name Shackleton, he is the person who attempted to cross Antarctica, and he and his crew got stuck and had to try to overwinter inside
right.
their broken down ship.
Mm-hmm. And he had 100 dogs, and there are illustrations of all the dogs, as long as we're talking about dogs.
So there you go. It's a adventure story, it's a science story, sort of, and mm-hmm. it's a dog story, mm-hmm. all rolled into one, and British.
Mm-hmm.
So let's try another search. What is something that we could try? Let's think of something we can just kind of run through the search theme and try to figure something out. So food is one of them, right?
Correct.
I'm going to click on just the food thing and see how many books you have here. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, there are a lot of food books, just FYI, everyone. Oh, my goodness, look at all of them. There's so many interesting ones. Oh, I can't. Okay, so I know this is crazy to try to talk about a website on the radio like this, but I just want to just convey to you that you must go to the site and really get a good look because there's so much here. Are you noticing, too? Our engineer, Troy, is also looking, and he's very impressed. So, yeah, so there's a lot. Oh, my goodness, they're from everywhere, too, aren't they? Okay, well, that was too big of a thing to take on. Just a quick search. Anyone else have something they would recommend to look at that might not be quite so big as food?
Well, go back to the homepage, mm-hmm. and on the right-hand side, you'll find that little tag cloud.
Mm-hmm.
and just try clicking on something that is not in large print.
Okay, something little.
Something in little print. It just means there's not going to be a long, long, long list.
All right, and it even tells you on mine, it says there are six topics for this one. So I just clicked on classics.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang 50th Anniversary Deluxe Edition.
Yes.
So that's something you can share, grandparents. Be a great thing to share with your grandchildren, right? This is The World, A Global Treasury. Alice in Wonderland. Oh, look at the pretty illustrations. That, I've never seen that one before. And Madeline's 75th Anniversary Edition. Madeline is the, what is the line, the little girls?
Old house in Paris.
That was covered in vines. Lived 12 little girls in two straight lines, and the smallest one was Madeline. Okay. And The Cat Who Came In Off of the Roof, I don't know if I know that story. I guess I'll have to check it out. Emil and the Detectives.
Wonderful. German. There's a movie, too. Right. But the movie's not as good.
Wow. So that's pretty incredible. So, again, you just really have to go there in order to see. Marilyn, who provides the resources for OmniLibros? You said it's the Center for Children's Literature, but is there, like, a funding source, or is it mostly just you all donating your time, or how does it work? I get it sounds like the books all come free from the publishers.
Not all. Many and more are coming free. I do a lot of shopping of websites and going to conferences, and I can pick them up there.
And so, but they're funded through just through the Center for Children's Literature, right?
And yes.
And Caitlin, you do this through the goodness of your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy doing it.
That's good. And Emma, you're right now, you're on a grant for the summer.
Correct.
Do you see yourself continuing?
Oh, yes.
Yes, because now you're addicted?
Yes.
You can't stop.
Right.
You come into the office for work or for your time with Marilyn that day, and she hands you a new book. You got to read this. Sit down. And that starts the addiction.
And you just read, read, read all the time. So I would like to end by asking each of you, what is the most surprising or unexpected thing that has happened as a result of your involvement with OmniLibros? So we'll start with Emma.
I would say I find it interesting that OmniLibros has so many visitors from various countries from around the world. While many of our visitors come from like a country that has a large children's book industry, there's some that do not. And I just feel like OmniLibros does just such a great job by sharing diverse books to people all around the world. And I really like to think like at the end of the day, we're brightening someone's or some child's life. Like, this child may fall in love with one of the books that is on our site because a teacher or a parent read about it on our site. And I just love to think that we're spreading the passion of reading around the world.
That's great. And Caitlin?
I also agree with being very shocked and surprised that so many different people from around the world are looking at our website. And a lot of this happened even before we went public in October. I remember first beginning the website and just seeing people pop up from all over the world viewing this.
And I'm going to say the same thing, but it's just so surprising, so wonderful that we can sit here in Kenosha and type something in and immediately someone in Iceland is reading it without the internet. I mean, this wouldn't even have been, nobody even dreamed of this.
So it sort of opened up your own world for all three of you, in addition to, obviously, for the people who use the site, it's opening up their world and the worlds for their children or their students.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of extra time. Is there anything else that we haven't covered, something really important to say about OmniLibros that I didn't remember to ask?
We need to tell people how to subscribe.
Oh, yes.
We've had them following along this whole time. And now that we're kind of winding down, subscribing is super easy. All you have to do is go to the homepage. On the right-hand side, you'll see a place where you can type your email address in. You type your email, hit follow, I believe.
I'm doing it right now.
Mm-hmm. And then it'll send you a confirmation email to your email pretty much immediately. And you will then receive our emails 2 to 3 times a week when a new post is published. So you don't even have to type in omnilibros.com every time you want to check and see if there's a new post. You will automatically be notified.
I just did it, and it just came through on my email, and I just confirmed it. So it's definitely easy to do. Troy just did it too. So there we go. We've got 2 new subscribers. How many subscribers do you have? Do you know? Is that recorded anywhere?
I think it's well over 100 by now.
Yeah.
So we'll have to watch and see if you have a peak right after the show airs. Right?
Exactly.
To see what else is left. So anything else about the site that we might want to add? Just, you know, sort of like big pitch, like what's your elevator pitch about your site when you talk to people about it?
People ask me why I do this, and I honestly believe that it's to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm. Because the more that children learn about other places and other people, the more they realize we're all people. Is that kind of it?
Mm-hmm.
That is really amazing. So... If they have any questions, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Well, on the site, we actually have a page or a tab near the end of our tab screen. It's called Contact, and then if you click Contact, there's an area where you can leave a comment, and then you have to have your email address there, so then we know who to contact to, and then when you click Submit and have your name there, then we'll get an email telling us that you're asking us something or you just want to talk about how great our site is, which we love to hear. Yeah, and then we'll respond to your comment once we get that email.
Okay, and that's the best way. All right. What if someone is, I guess if they're not online, they're really not going to use the site, so we're not going to worry about that right now. Okay. Can they come in and browse the children's literature collection, even if they don't have a library card or anything?
Of course.
And that is where?
When you come in the library, it's right there on the first floor to the right.
Okay, and that's on the Carthage College campus.
Right.
It's kind of right in the middle. If you've ever been to campus for something in the chapel, the library is to the north of the chapel. It's the very next building over. And then you could just step in and ask at the front desk, and they'll show you where to look, right? So you can see all of these books in person.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So thank you again. Our guests today talking about Omnilibros have been Marilyn Ward, who is a professor of education and director of the Center for Children's Literature at Carthage College, Emma Abler, who is an elementary education student at Carthage College and is currently working on a research project about the Omnilibros site, and Caitlin Cook, who's a 2014 Carthage graduate currently teaching special education at Butler Middle School in Waukesha. And I'm your host, Karen Sconsert. This Education Matters program addressed omnilibros.com. Remember, all of our programs are archived at our WGTD.org website. So if you hear something you like, you can listen again at a later time. We also have a WGTD Education Matters Facebook page with additional information about all our shows and breaking news on education issues in Wisconsin. So check that out as well. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Jazz returns to Kenosha's lakefront Saturday, August 15th with Harbor Park Jazz, Rhythm and Blues. New Orleans Rebirth Brass Band headlines. Also, the Kenosha Jazz All-Star Tribute Band and the Frank Catalano Group. Proceeds benefit the Mary Lou and Arthur F. Mahone Fund, promoting healthy lifestyle initiatives and educational and career opportunities for all students. Tickets at MahoneFund.org, a supporter of WGTD.
Support for classical music on WGTD comes from Piasecki Althaus, honoring personal legacies in the circle of life. They believe that every detail counts and every memory matters. Piasecki Althaus is located in Kenosha on 39th Avenue, serving the community since 1931.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Gateway will be holding open houses at its 3 main campuses. The event in Kenosha will be held Tuesday, July 21st, in Racine the following Wednesday, and in Elkhorn on Thursday. Hours at all locations are 3 to 7. Fall classes begin September 8th.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant.